for them, that every one of them may take even a little. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which had five barley loaves, and they were little ones, and two little fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in that place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. And so here we have the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And the Bible tells us, and Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks, and he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men which had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. What a great miracle. The Bible tells us there's 5,000 men. It didn't tell us how many ladies there were. It didn't tell us how many children there were. But there was 5,000 men. And they had come to hear Jesus teach them the truths from God's word and who he was. And so the Lord, of course, says to one of his disciples, now feed this great multitude. And they said, well, it's almost not possible to feed this many people. And they said, the best we can do is we can come up with a little fella here that came with us lunch. And he's got 5 loaves. And they were little loaves, you know, kind of like that. And 2 little fishes. And he says, this is all we have. And Jesus basically said, you know, that's all I need. And so he said, give them to me. And the Bible tells us that he started breaking those loaves of bread. And they started filling baskets and feeding the people. And the Bible tells us they ate until they were full. And then they gathered up what they did not eat. And the Bible tells us that there was 12 baskets full of fragments that was left over from the feeding of these 5,000. And this is a great miracle. This is a great miracle. Now you think about it. Jesus is, in this passage of Scripture, is revealing himself that he is the one who takes care of your bread in life. Jesus is the one who can take care of your bread. And of course, in the Bible, bread represents your daily sustenance, what you need to live. And Jesus is showing all these people that he is the one that is the key to supplying all your physical needs in life. And then he's going to go and teach a sermon now that he's got the people's attention. And you know, think about it. Most of our attention in life is about the physical needs. That's most of our attention in life. We spend a lot of time taking care of our families. We spend a lot of time earning money. We take a lot of time working and et cetera, take care of the physical needs of life. Now, Jesus has just got their attention that, hey, I can take care of this. Not a problem. He's got their attention. Now, we're going to take a moment to think about that for a minute and see, is that really what the Bible teaches? That Jesus really can take care of your physical needs? Well, I'm going to quote a few verses if you give me this chance. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that the Gentiles seek after, all these things that the Gentiles give their whole life to, the physical needs of life, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, that's the promise of Jesus Christ. Now, let me also share with this. this great truth in the Bible. Psalm 37 and verse 25, David, the king, said this. And he says, I have been old, I have been young, and now I'm old, and I have yet to see the righteous, those who put God first in their life. I have yet to see the righteous begging bread. Wow. Does God have something to do to take care of our physical needs? The Apostle Paul, he's in jail, and an offering has come from the church at Philippi, and he writes back to the church at Philippi, and he says this. He says in Philippians 4:19, he says, my God shall supply all your needs, not once, all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And then let me share this great verse in the book of Proverbs about God's provision of our physical needs in life. And Jesus has proven that he is the key ingredient in life to supply our physical needs. And so this is what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and following. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Notice what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, I thought of a historical illustration of this great truth. From a broad perspective, in recent history of mankind, think of the two greatest civilizations, the richest civilizations that the world in modern times has known. First of all, think upon the kingdom that was named the kingdom upon which the sun never sets. Of course, that was the kingdom of England or Great Britain. And that was a kingdom of Great Britain came to its height of its prosperity worldwide. It came to its height of its prosperity in the 18th century. But what made Great Britain different from all the nations of the world at that time? There was two things that made Great Britain different from all the nations of the world at that time. Number one, that Great Britain in the 1700s and the early 1800s was the center of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's great revival spread across England and Wales and Scotland many, many times. And a great, vast number of those people were believers in Jesus Christ. And in great contrast to other modern countries of the world. But secondly, what's also unique about Britain is that in the 1800s, Britain was the number one financial supporter of the spread of the message of Jesus Christ. They sent more missionaries and supported more missionaries out of Great Britain than anywhere else in the world. Probably the support of the gospel was probably 80 to 90% of all support for the gospel went from Great Britain. Now, Great Britain, that has ebbed. And that great empire is certainly not even a shadow of what it was. But think of the next great prosperous nation that the world knows, and that great nation is the United States of America. And even though we are at the end of that ebb of prosperity, we would have to recognize that all the peoples of the world would love to come to America because of the ability to provide for their family in this country. What made America great? Well, America became what it is because for the first 200 years of America, this land experienced a spiritual revival every 50 years, in which the whole country was affected by this movement of God and faith in Jesus Christ. You can see remnants of that even today. They say in the 1850s, every single adult in the state of Kentucky had put their faith in Jesus Christ and was born again Christian. Every single adult. And you can go there today and you can find Bible-believing churches on every corner in many places. And in the 1800s, 1860s, 1880s, America was, its character was formed by a constant national revival and turning to the Bible and living by the Bible. The result was, in the 20th century, the number one supporter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The country that supported over 90% of all missionaries. I'm not talking about missionaries going out and building houses and the farms. I'm talking about going out with the gospel of message of Jesus Christ. 90% of all missionaries in the 20th century were supported by American dollars. Is our prosperity an accident? No. And it fits with the very principle that the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Jesus proved that very simply before this great crowd of people, that he took these 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he's able to feed this whole crowd. That got their attention. You know, I suppose that if we did something like that today, you'd get your attention, right? If we came down to the meal afterwards and all there was five little loaves of bread, and or maybe for this crowd we only would need one, you know, and everybody just got a grand meal, you'd say, wow, I wouldn't mind finding out how this happens. But Jesus got their attention. And then he says something that's very important, that they were people just like you and I. They were very focused on everyday life. In verse 32, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you, and he's referring back to Moses in the wilderness, gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The true bread. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the bread of life, that he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is talking about the greatest need of mankind. He's talking about the need, the part of life that most of us neglect. He's talking about our soul. Do you know that we are a three-part being? The Bible tells us that we are a body, a soul, and a spirit. We're three parts. The fact is that most of our life is all wrapped up on just one part. And you know, that one part is very short-lived. You know, life isn't too long. It goes by quickly. But we spend all our time for the physical, but it's a very short life. And we forget about the fact that there is a more important part. That is our soul. And I think this is typical of America today. I was talking to a young man at whatever store it was. I was talking to him about conversation. And I said to him, do you ever think about your soul? Do you ever think about eternity? And, of course, he said, no. No, I don't give much attention to that at all. Now, it was interesting because here was a young man that had a shopping cart full of food. You know, he was paying attention to his physical, but he was neglecting the most important part. Now, Jesus said, I am the true bread that comes from heaven. It tells us that our soul is actually has a hunger. Our soul has a hunger to know God. Our soul has a hunger to have a relationship with God. And Jesus is saying, I'm the true bread. I'm the real bread that you need for your life, for the most important part of your life. He says something that's interesting. Now, notice what he is saying. He says, now, I'm the true bread. And he says, he that believeth on, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, this is in contrast earthly bread. Now, if you have anywhere close to teenagers in your home, you know, about half hour after supper, they're opening the refrigerator. Because they're always hungry. Now, he said, the real bread, once you get it, you won't ever hunger again. Once you get the true bread, once the soul of man finds its real need, it will be complete. He says, you'll never hunger because it brings a relationship with God, a real and living relationship with God. Now, just think of the setting. He proved that he could meet the physical needs of mankind, and that was nothing for him. And now he is using that as illustration to say, I am the one who can meet your real needs in life. In fact, he says, I am the bread of life. Now, in the Greek language, the is a pretty important word. And when he says, I am the bread of life, it means I am the one and only bread of life. I am the only one who can satisfy and take care of the needs of your soul. Why? Because only Jesus died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty of our sin, which separates us from God. I was talking to a young man, and he said, God hasn't been part of my life for a long time. I says, well, you know what? God didn't, God is there. You're the one who walked away from him. And Jesus is the one that brings us to God. So, he said, you'll never hunger. And he said, I am the true bread. I am the one who will satisfy the needs of your soul. And then he tells us how that is possible. Verse 40. It says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him." Now they just had a picture lesson of what Jesus could do physically to show them what he could do for them spiritually. "He that believeth on him may have everlasting life." Believe. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, a lot of religion is trying to reach God. People are doing this, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're going through this motion, they're going through that motion. They're trying. They're hoping. But notice the whole different perspective that Jesus had. It says, it's not maybe, it's not hopefully, it's not trying. He said, "He that believeth on me will have everlasting life." Not maybe, but real. And that life comes with Jesus. Not through religion, not through works. It comes through Jesus. 1 John 5, it says, "He that hath the Son," who the person who has Jesus Christ, who takes him as their Savior by faith, and faith in him alone, "he that hath the Son hath life," eternal life. And you get it the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the true life. I am the true bread." Now, let's stop a moment and make some application here. I have five applications. Application number one is the lesson of life is that we are so busy in meeting the physical needs of life that we neglect the eternal needs. We have a ministry at the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater, and we talk to students all the time. And one of the men was asking a student, you know, "How much time, thought did you take to decide where you're going to go to college?" And this student is saying, "You know, I thought about this a long time. I put a lot of thought into it. I did, you know, weighed all these options. I spent a lot of time thinking about where I was going to go to college." You know, that's a part of the physical needs of life, right? You're going to go to college. You're going to get an education so you can, you know, provide for your family, get a good job. You've got a lot of time. And he said to him, "Well, how much time have you taken to think about eternity?" There's a truth there. The physical needs are so predominant that oftentimes we neglect the real needs of our life, which are eternal. The second application is this, is that children, as well as we, are three-part beings. Body, soul, and spirit. And although good parents, like I'm sure you are, spend a lot of effort to take care of the physical needs of those children, which are immense, but the fact is they have a part of them that is even more important than the physical. They have a soul. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The third application is this, is Jesus is the key to all our needs. I realize that's not a part of American thinking today. That's not a part of the message that we're receiving. But Jesus made it clear that He not only can meet our physical needs, but He can take care of our soul needs. Jesus is the key to all the needs. Think of all the needs of a child. They have physical needs, they have emotional needs, and they have spiritual needs. And Jesus is the key to all of that. I was in the other part of the world a few years ago, and I had a preacher friend of mine. We were in Burma, and he was going to go to India. And I heard him talking on the phone with the pastor from India, and they were going to have a Bible conference, and they were going to feed the people and have a gathering. And the pastor from India was saying, "We need some more money. You sent us this money, but we need more money, you know, to take care of this meeting." And the preacher says, "Well, can't you help at all? I mean, we got to supply it all." And the preacher said, "Oh, no, we are a poor country. Our people are poor. They can't help." And never forget what the preacher said. He says, "You know," he said, "as long as you don't teach the people how to give and put God first, they will always be poor. They will always be poor." And there's a great truth of life. And Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." We had a little over a week ago, we had a young man in our church give a testimony, and he got everybody's attention pretty well, because he talked about the fact that just a few years ago his father died, and his father had left their family, his children, made sure they had enough money to make it in life. And this young man talked about how his father did a lot to take care of their physical needs. But as a young man, he didn't know anything about his soulish needs. And it wasn't until just a little over, I don't know, a year and a half ago, he went to a Bible study at the high school, and he found out about Jesus Christ and was born into the family of God. The last application is that Jesus is called the bread of life. And he uses that phrase to tell us that we need him. We need him. Just like you need bread, you need food to live, we need Jesus Christ. We need him. We need him for the forgiveness of sins. We need him in order to be born into the family of God. We need him because Jesus Christ alone can forgive us of our sins and make us children of God, where we can have a living fellowship with God. Jesus said, "I'm the true bread. I can supply your physical bread, but there's more important bread that you need. That's bread for your soul." And as we think of Family Day today, perhaps this is a challenge to every family, about the fact that we do not merely need physical bread. We need Jesus, who is the bread of our soul. And I'm wondering today, how are you doing? Now, obviously, you're probably better than the average person because you're here. You're putting some attention to that. And so that's, you know, that's wonderful. But the question is, are we putting as much effort to eternity as we are to this life? Are we putting as much thought into the fact that we have a soul as into the fact that we have a body and love comfort and love to be taken care of? You know, the fact is that the more comfortable life is, the easier it is to become blinded to the real needs of life, isn't it? Ever notice that? The more comfortable life is, the more physical needs are supplied, the more money we have in the bank, the more, settled for retirement, the less we give attention to the most important thing. And that is our soul. And of course, Jesus said, He's the bread that meets the need of our soul. And so, I'm wondering if today, if maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart. And I thought about this. I thought about perhaps the Lord is challenging you to do something about it. And I wrote a little prayer down that you might think about. That you might think about praying. And it goes like this. God, I've neglected for myself and my children the greatest need. You. And your Son, who you sent from heaven to die for my sins. And I've neglected my soul and the souls of my children. Today, I will readjust my life to put you in your proper place in my family and in my life. Just a sample thought. Maybe you could pray that prayer. God, I've neglected for myself and my children the greatest need. You and your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins. Neglected my soul and eternity and the souls of my children and preparing them for eternity. And today, I will readjust my life to put you in your proper place in my life. I trust you could pray that prayer. And that might be the beginning of your effort to find Jesus Christ, who is the true bread of life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus and a day in which the Lord Jesus is being put on the back burner and Jesus is being mocked. He still is the true bread that came down from heaven. He's the true bread that every soul needs. He is the only one that can provide for eternity. And the true meeting of the needs of man's soul. And so, Lord, we pray that you might have your way. That there would be an honest, humble response to you in all of our lives. And that, Lord, we would not get caught up in this pursuit of the material in neglect of the eternal. We pray that you would bless each family represented today. We pray for every parent, for wisdom, for true faith to turn to you, for children to realize that Jesus is real and they can, he can be their Savior as well. So bless, Lord, these truths in hearts. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, maybe you've come with some real needs in your life today. And you'd say, you know, I believe God has spoken to my heart through his word and through the message. And today I realize that my need is to turn to Jesus Christ. And just as we close the prayer, the service, and in this prayer you say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? I have special needs in my life that I realize that Jesus is the one that can meet those needs. Would you remember me as you close this prayer? Anyone here today? Just lift up your hand wherever it might be. And Lord, we thank you that you are the true bread and that you can meet these needs. In Jesus' name, amen.